And yeah, you found us. It's Chambers, Changes, and Conversations, where local government isn't just policy and paperwork. It's people, progress, and powerful stories. I'm Communications Division Manager Casey Zempel, alongside Government Relations Director Stephanie Garrison, and we're here to pull back the curtain on what's happening in Manatee County. Today, we have the privilege of being joined by one of our commissioners elected in 2024, Tal Sadiq, who represents District 3 in Manatee County, which includes parts of Bradenton, the Islands, and Cortez. Commissioner Sadiq brings a fresh generational voice to the board. At 31, he's one of the youngest commissioners and an accomplished professional, educated at George Washington University and with project leadership roles supporting the U.S. Air Force, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of Veterans. A software engineer by trade, he also built his own IT consultancy. Beyond tech, Commissioner Sadiq is deeply connected to Manatee County, serving in Leadership Manatee, volunteering with the Chamber, Kiwanis, and others. He's entered office with strong priorities in mind, from expanding sidewalks and bike lanes to getting young people more engaged in local politics. It's been 6 months, and already he's building momentum. Commissioner Tal, welcome to Chambers Changes and Conversations.
Thanks for having me here.
So you've definitely had a unique path into public service, from software development to civic leadership. What is something our listeners might be surprised to learn about you?
I did not want to get into politics.
Not at all.
Nope. I was very happy making a lot of money in the tech industry, but one day I just looked up and I saw a few things that I didn't think were making our community any better. I saw a lot of division, and not just at the national or even state level. I saw our inability to get together and make our community better, a better place to live, whether we were fighting over widening 59th Street or trying to address issues like the water line that fell on Manatee Avenue, or just thinking ahead about what does West Bradenton or West County look like 10, 20, 15 years from now. I don't think everyone bought into one cohesive vision, and I just wanted to bring a new voice to set that vision and direction.
You know, with tech and a consulting background, it's not the typical background that our commissioners typically have here in county government. I'm curious, you know, how have those skills from your previous world helped you as a commissioner?
I'll say the tech industry is very rapid, moves very, very quickly. Your onboarding experience is 2 weeks, and if you don't get yourself together, you're gone pretty quickly thereafter. And coming into government where things are the opposite, almost slow, in a way it's a good thing, because what I think the tech industry fails to understand, and it's kind of like the, you know, financial markets, you're looking for short-term gain without thinking about the long-term impact. You have to take certain things slow. So the lessons I bring in from the tech industry are certainly around efficiency, which is a great talking point nowadays, but also about being intentional about decisions you're making and putting a lot of thought and time into it. For, you know, being part of the new school, I try and invoke a lot of old school ways of trying to do my job, and that's talking to people as much as I can in person, building relationships, and just trying to connect with people one-on-one as much as I can.
You know, you've been in office now for 6+ months. Has there been a moment that really made you think that, like, wow, this is different than what I signed up for?
It feels like 6 years already. No, having been on the other side of the dais, it was a weird experience at first. I think I made a comment at one point when I was doing a presentation on storm drains, but I think I've settled in fairly well. I think there's this period where after you're campaigning, you're still coming off of a high, and then given how quickly they see us as commissioners, it takes a moment to adjust. But Tommy Gregory gave me some great advice, and that was two parts. One, be a serious candidate and don't be crazy. And so I took that to heart coming in. I'd spent a lot of time. Once I'd won the primary, I felt fairly confident I'd get here. So I spent a lot of my time front-loading research. I connected with some staff and just trying to prepare as best I can. I think translating those promises to tangible outcomes is something I feel confident I'm at, but it's taken some time to get there.
How have you found that experience working with staff?
Pretty good. I think being a commissioner, it's a distinct role. I'm finding and learning. You're not a state or federal legislator. It blends equal parts of what a legislator might do at the state or federal level with what an executive might do. In some ways, you have the entire resources of an entire county government, which in Manatee County is a great thing. I'm a member of Florida Association of Counties, National Association of Counties as well, and there are a lot of small counties that can't get done what we can get done, and it always impresses me how much we can get done, whether it's storm responses, our ability to keep our utilities operational and functioning, things that we're doing in community veteran services with Veterans Connection Hub, with our parks. I mean, there are counties in this state of just 50,000 people, and they would kill to have the capabilities we have. I'm not going to say we don't always get things right. And coming from the tech industry, one of the lessons that they teach you, it's a principle in Scrum and Kanban, is to be agile. Mm-hmm. Those are agile methodologies. And part of being agile is always learning. At the end of your two-week increment, which is when you're starting to deliver work, you're supposed to look back and look at what went well and what did not go well. I mean, very rapid cycles. The government doesn't do that. Construction projects is typical project management. They take longer. But that's what I try and bring in, is just see what we can do better. So I don't ever say we did that terribly. I think I look back in what we can improve and optimize on.
Yeah, and you touched on it a little bit. One thing that definitely stands out about your leadership style is your focus on efficiency and modernization. It's, you know, not just what gets done, but how. That mindset isn't always common in local government. You know, you've spoken about wanting to modernize how local government operates. Was there a moment maybe early on that planted that seed for thinking differently about public service?
Yes, I thought about accessibility. Mm-hmm. So I spent a little bit of time working for Department of Veterans Affairs as a consultant. And one of the things I did was work on how to make websites accessible to people with disabilities. It's a federal statute, mm-hmm. law,
it
Section
is.
508. I think every municipality, every public website needs to operate in this way. I think private too. But the idea is you make your website accessible, whether it's by virtue of button clicks, the colors on the screen, making sure those things work. And so I look at good design. There's a great book out there called Good Services. And it's a very short book, but it just, by way of an example, it teaches you what a good service or good design is by using an example of a door. If you walk up to a door and you don't know how to open it, then that's poor design. Like the handle at a door we're looking at indicates to me we have to pull it down and open it. A bar might tell you have to pull or push it. But it's intuitive. You don't think about it. I mean, you come from Apple, mm-hmm. Stephanie. You understand design. Mm-hmm. When you pick up an iPhone, you just know how certain things work. And that's informed how every phone now works. So for me, I look at government in that lens. And so 311 is a good example. The app, it works fairly well. There's certain improvements you can always make, but it's fairly intuitive. If you have a problem, you just type it in and you can get yourself through it. So I look at all the things that we put out there on our website. Drew has a AI roadmap. So I look at how can we integrate things into our services to make them more accessible. I mean, one day it'd be nice to not have to physically, like, call up a commissioner to be a glorified help desk. Kind of felt like that after the storms, but I took that as a challenge to say, where can we improve accessibility of services? So I spent a lot of time with staff in the weeds and some things about that.
And leveraging AI. I mean, we've got the chatbot. We're working on that for the website and everything. And a familiar face is going to be kind of your host, your chatbot representative.
I like that.
So be looking for that.
Coming soon.
Coming soon to mymanatee.org.
You know, I love that. I love talking about design. So you're hitting it on the head. That's something that I've paid attention to a lot too. How can we design our processes to be just easier, more intuitive, what people expect, and, you know, how do we make it feel good, not just work good, but feel good as well. When it comes to accessibility or maybe even just good design, maybe give us an example of how that's shown up in your recent work as commissioner. I'd love to hear more about maybe from the storms or something recently where you've actually applied some of this.
Yeah, so I've been spending quite a bit of time researching how can we, as a government entity, support the policy goal of encouraging redevelopment. We have this conversation a lot with the battle over where the future development area boundary should be, where how do we hold the line, how do we encourage development, how do we encourage it west, where we still have a lot of opposition, and how do we encourage it in certain parcels? So I spent quite a bit of time talking to staff, learning how to use the GIS maps, learning to use the different layers. But I think the accessibility challenge I've learned is it's not very apparent that that is the place you should go to understand that. So if I'm a developer and I want to come in and rebuild a parcel, I'm not necessarily convinced today, speaking to a few, that the GIS map is the first place to go to figure out where the overlays are, the federal opportunity zones, the Manatee County urban corridors, and then tying that back into what are the livable Manatee incentives. I think there's I mentioned this in the board meeting the other day, this week, the span of information is very wide. I like to help narrow it. So I've just been coming up, I haven't proposed anything, but I think that's one example where it's accessibility and is a little bit of a challenge, but it's something we can always improve on.
It's so important. Mm-hmm. It's so important. And I love that we're going there, and from your background, you're able to kind of just instantly zoom into some of these very important topics for just making it easier for people. Mm-hmm. So I do want to switch gears a little bit and let people learn a little bit more about you. Even, you know, we know that politics is very demanding, and even if, you know, one person in the household's in politics, but in your case, you've got two people in your household in politics and active public life. And I have to ask, because your wife is running for state representative, what's it like having two politicians in the same household?
It's funny. I always thought my wife would run, and I won't get too much into politics. And then she does her own thing. We agreed on that. We're two people, but she was there. She's my number one. She was there side by side with me. The campaign. Yeah, we're both sweating in 90 plus degree weather in August, going door to door. So, you know, if she makes it in, don't ask me for favors.
right. But I'm curious more, how do you support each other at home? You
know, we have a lot of disagreements on things.
I'm sure. But so, like, when you navigate public life, how do you support one another? You know, do you have to say, okay, no politics tonight, we're watching this movie, and we're not going to talk about work? Do you have those kind of rules at home?
No, we actually enjoy it. So she spent a lot of time advocating for workforce development issues on the Hill. She was the person involved in politics, and so I've picked up a lot of the knowledge that I have about federal policy, and that I sent bug to you guys in government relations about. I get that from her, because she spends a lot of her time and has a lot of experience learning about those issues. So how do we navigate the ever-changing world of politics, policy, how can we make our community better and all that? And I think, you know, there's a straight line I feel like you can draw from federal, state, to local legislation, ordinances, and there's a way to connect all the different policies. And I think we enjoy having good conversations about how can we leverage, you know, our knowledge and experience across the local, state, national areas to inform my decisions at the local level, and hopefully hers at the state level.
So you've now had a little bit of time to get into the rhythm of the job, right? Attending meetings, hearing from residents, working through real policy decisions. That kind of hands-on experience can sometimes shift your perspective a little bit. What's maybe a policy or issue area where you found your thinking evolving since taking office?
I try not to be fixed. I try to be fixed on principles, but not fixed on the approach. And I think there are a lot of ways to accomplish your end goal without changing your philosophy on certain things. But I will say the conversation around addressing infrastructure needs while at the same time being mindful of protecting the environment and water quality here has been a relatively recent topic. So I'm the county appointment to the Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council. I elected to join a few subcommittees. I was on the Agency for Bay and Coastal Management, representing the coast and inclusive of the three island cities and then the town. We completed most of our board meetings with them, and water quality is a big issue. So I spent my first few months talking to Charlie Huntsicker about how do we measure water quality? What does that actually mean? Because if you talk to a few of the activist groups in the community, it'll be a measure of bacteria in the water. Mm-hmm. Like Suncoast Water Watchers.
Yeah,
water keepers, they'll talk about bacteria in the water. But if you talk to our natural resources team, the Tampa Bay Estuary Program, Sarasota Bay Estuary Program, mm-hmm. it's a measure of the light infiltration in our water. And because that promotes photosynthesis in the seagrass, that promotes, which can be a haven for fish to reside in, eat, consume, what have you. That's what water quality, that's one measure of it. And of course, the amount of seagrass and fish and so on. So one of the challenges that we have to be mindful of is as we're trying to address flooding in East County and throughout the county, we have to be mindful that when we're considering the infrastructure improvements needed to make their lives better, we have to find the appropriate response that doesn't threaten water quality throughout the rest of the county, because it's been a hard-fought battle to mm-hmm. make sure that we don't have the horrifying red tide events like 2018. And so if we're considering dredging Braden River, dredging these canals, we have to make sure that we are being cognizant of the fact that you are increasing outflows eventually into the Manatee River mm-hmm. and to lower Tampa Bay. So my perspective on it shifted. I thought, let's just dredge everything and then see how it goes. But having conversations with the experts on our staff, the Regional Planning Council staff, has kind of helped me to understand, okay, there's ways to accomplish that goal, but maybe you can install nutrient filtration systems and others to help further the goal of protecting the water quality, but also ensuring we're not flooding people out east. So that's one area where I think shift in my perspective on things.
And does that just come with more awareness of the subject? I mean, as being a commissioner, you know, often comes with awareness. Is that the root of the evolution of maybe your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I remember the last time I took a class on anything related to the environment, it was in college, and I never researched it. I grew up in Virginia in the Chesapeake Bay watershed area, and that's a watershed that has a lot of challenges. I mean, you have so many different states that have outflows all the way down to Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Southern Maryland, and it's not impossible, but it's tough to protect water quality when you're working across state lines. So when I moved here, I thought, well, it should be easy. It's just Florida. It's one state. One county, maybe two. But I think, you know, having the experience of being on that board, talking to our staff, who are awesome, very knowledgeable, and that has helped me gain more knowledge and reacquaint myself with the science and the policy as well.
Yeah,
that's an incredible topic. You know, you're often described as pragmatic. You see that in just hearing you talk now about the waters. Yeah, sure. You know, but sometimes getting things done means letting go of the perfect outcome. So has there been a moment where you've had to choose progress over perfection?
Yeah, I'd say two. So in January, I wanted to see a strategic plan implemented. I think there's another way of going about seeing that done, because I felt, as a policymaker, and let's just pretend, I don't think you can run, as a bit of an aside, a county government or any government like a true business. I think there are compromises you make with that. The mayor of Bradenton makes a good point. He says to me, you know, government can be business-like. And the reason for that is your goal is not to be a profitable enterprise. Your goal is to provide a service at the appropriate price, and you negotiate that however you like, a resource allocation. But with that in mind, I felt there are things that we can do to be business-like. And so I think staff are still working on this, but I think the comprehensive plan and land development, comprehensive plan is not our blueprint for where we are going as a county government. Maybe it defines what things will look like, and I think we've run into a lot of challenges with a lot of future land use codes, designations. But even that, it doesn't tell you what we will look like. It just says what's allowable or not allowable, what's zoned or not zoned. It doesn't tell me if that will be that this particular parcel will have multifamily affordable housing or a storage unit. It says all of it can be allowed. So it's difficult to say that. But I wanted to see all of us come together to say, let's put a strategic plan together that's inclusive of broader community goals. Because being a commissioner is about more than just land use. It's about what this community will look like. So I think I didn't quite get the vote on that, but I hope in future years we can skin that cat a little bit differently. I think the next one is short-term vacation rentals, obviously. That didn't go that particular route, but I think I pivot and look at other ways we can improve quality of life. If folks are concerned about other aspects or perceptions about how to that particular issue, I think there are other actors in the community like West Mandy Fire District. There are other ways to address that concern. I don't let it discourage me. I just move on to other issues.
Yeah. One of your priorities is improving infrastructure, sidewalks, bike lanes, as a couple of examples. Now, they're obviously, you know, they seem like a very small part of the overall county. But we hear from residents all the time that they can change how safe and connected neighborhoods feel. Can you maybe share one story that stuck with you from that area?
Oh, yeah. Sidewalks. So we're making good progress on this now on 26th Street West, but one of the constant refrains I would have is we spend a lot of money on the nicer parts of our district, and certainly they need upkeep. Some would argue they're not as nice as they used to be, but there are certain portions of my district, like east of 43rd Street West, and I don't see a similar level of infrastructure investment there. I don't see a CIP with a 59th Street equivalent worth $61 million, the real cost is 80. I don't see that anywhere east of there. And so one day I was just wrapping up campaigning for the day. It was hot. I'm just driving southbound on 26th Street West between Manatee and Cortez. And I see, no kidding, a young woman with a stroller, a baby in there, and then a child, probably 4 years old, walking north on the west side of that street, but on the dirt. There's no sidewalk, and this child is just running free just around, and oncoming traffic is quite a bit of it. There's, you know, pickup trucks, F-150s, 350s, sedans. And I thought it just didn't seem fair that we spend tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions on big projects, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we can't put in a sidewalk here. Yeah. And people are walking it. And I came back and stopped one day later on. I realized it was a well-worn dirt path. So it's an established path, and I felt that was unacceptable. So I spent a lot of time bugging Chad. His favorite commissioner. I think he might be everyone's staff member right now. But I said, hey, how can we solve this problem? And that's when I learned about the sidewalk info program, and we've gotten that built out and quite a few other things done there too.
So I have been that mother. I know that pain and the fear of my child's going to jump in the road. So thank you for working on that. You've also been laser focused on winning more grants in Manatee County. And if you were a resident, if you were explaining why this matters to a resident, what would you say the impact is?
People have a different perspective on grants. Some people will say, well, we shouldn't take any of it because there are so many strings attached. I say we should take every bit of it because those are your federal tax dollars that are coming back to your community. Sure, there are strings attached at the state level too, but tax dollars back or tax dollars back, I don't care. As long as we get them back. And I've been a big proponent because I've been at FAC, I've talked to their commissioners, and again, other counties would kill to have our capabilities. And many, there are cities in our county that are like, why aren't we going after grants? We have so many problems that can be solved. So trails are a great example. I've been to countries, I've been to cities and counties that have great urban trail networks, places to connect. I see them as a way to connect our community. We already have people taking bikes to get around everywhere, but we don't have safe pathways, dedicated pathways, I'll say. So grants are a great way to do that. I talked to Dave Hutchison at MPO. He tells me, Tal, we have all this federal and state grant funds for trails. You just haven't applied for any of it. Mm-hmm. I said, really? We have two major trail programs in the county. I'm sure we have. But he says to me, no, we haven't for the Sun Trail, which runs through my district. And that's a great way to get our tax dollars back to fund infrastructure improvements people want. So I'm a big proponent of grants. They're great for one-time capital outlays. Just make sure I also advocate for long-term maintenance and factoring that into our budget as well.
Yeah. And let's shift into some of your maybe bigger picture priorities, ethics, economic opportunity, and how we can make this community work better for the people in it. Let's start with public trust. Where do you think we stand now, and perhaps what's one thing, because, you know, Stephanie and I are both in communications, what's one thing that we could do better to increase that public trust right now?
I think to be honest, I think you're doing great, not just because I'm sitting here talking to you guys, but 6 months ago, we didn't have public comments on social media posts. And the First Amendment guarantees free speech, not the quality of speech. So at the end of the day, it's important we preserve that right. And no matter what people have to say, we just be respect is a two-way road.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think you have to give it to receive it. So I'll let those folks have fun in the comment section. But
we read every single one, by the way, too.
We do. So and wouldn't you rather know?
I mean, I would rather know for sure.
I welcome the comments, the criticism, the praise, of course, but I would rather know than not know. And I think that was one of the best decisions this board made, was to open the public comments and be able to engage and hear all the colors of commentary that have come out from the public.
And if you look at communicate, you cannot have effective communication without a feedback channel. Mm-hmm. And that, for us, is a big part of it.
You know, working during COVID, when everything went remote, been remote for 5 years up until this job, the worst thing you can do is under communicate. Mm-hmm. And so what I found as a project manager that was overseeing teams of employees and direct employees, you had to find creative ways to ensure you were in communication with each other, because if you didn't, then you leave things for interpretation, your goals become unclear, and then people just, you're playing video games in a meeting or something like that. I don't know.
Sure.
So the way you guys are approaching it with this podcast, with increased social media posts, is exactly what I wanted to see on the campaign trail. I think, we need to get people, just need to be aware of them. And I try to get people aware by using my own newsletter and social media as well. You can't, but just like our political process, I mean, how many people live in this country and how many people actually vote?
Mm-hmm.
There's a massive drop off there. I think our primary participation rate was under 30%. It was 28%. You can't fix that problem,
right,
no matter how much you try, but the worst thing to do is not communicate. So I think we're doing a lot better. We're in a good position as an organization compared to a year ago.
And while we're on that, and you mentioned it, social media, newsletter, how do people find that information?
My cell is 941-392-1740. And then tal@mymanatee.org or social media, Facebook, and talsadiq.com.
So you've also been outspoken about tackling traffic congestion, and we hear about it all the time, especially in fast-growing parts of District 3. What solutions do you think will make the biggest difference for residents in the near term?
In the near term, we have one road widening project, 75th Street West, but that's a capacity addition with some functional improvements. I've advocated for trails, dedicated bus lanes, and the expansion of the water taxi. None of those are near term, but I'm trying to get them funded and improved now. So my philosophy is in the urban parts of our county, we need to focus on multimodal transportation. It is not enough to just widen roads until they start taking up more and more private property, and all you have are more roads and more maintenance. I think people want to get around more, and I think when you fund multimodal, you address the criticism we have from infill developers who say you don't have a good public transit system. So why would I, you know, build affordable housing for someone who can't afford a car when you don't even have a bus transit that provides steady 15-20 minute service or bike lanes here? So for me, I want to fund the Sun Trail as the first urban trail in the county, and connect that eventually to trails in North Palmetto, to East County, eventually to the island, and then through to Longboat Key, and then through Sarasota. One big circle between our counties. That's the goal. We need to start somewhere. And it takes so long to get these things done, but I feel this is the best time to do it because the Sun Trail study is done. The alignment's been identified. All the municipalities in the county and Sarasota have agreed to that alignment collectively. They voted on it. So we just need to fund it and just move forward. Beyond that, dedicated bus transit is something I've been looking at. One day I'd like to see public transit, and this is not a secret, I've talked to staff about it, spun out as its own department. It's under Public Works. It's taking over the water taxi. We heard from briefings this week, meetings with Bradenton Beach and Anna Maria. And I think eventually it being its own department makes a lot of sense, because today it takes me, I was looking at it, 1 hour to get from my home on 59th Street West to downtown. That's a 10-minute drive, maybe 15. It takes an hour looking at the bus route.
Yeah.
And I think if we can invest in it and look at it from a different lens and eventually build the appropriate infrastructure like dedicated bus lanes and improving bus stops, we can make it a viable alternative transit solution. On Cortez, the thing I'm pushing with DOT and MPO on, and you'll see it in our transit development plan, are dedicated bus lanes starting from at least 75th Street West and Cortez all the way through to, I want to say, our Cortez Marina. My vision is we have, with all the development happening there, 8,000 plus homes and Seaflower, rather than looking at it as and shaking our fists in the air, let's do something about it. So I've been proposing to DOT and MPO, and they all love it. It's just a matter of funding it and getting in the plan. Having dedicated bus lanes either on the outside lanes or in the middle and get rid of those medians, and then you create a transit system that eventually could go to East County with our 44th Avenue East Extension and just get people to the Cortez Marina, where you take a water taxi to Bridge Street, and now you're in Bridge Street. We had a conversation this week with Bradenton Beach about how do you solve that last mile. Well, we'll figure that out. That's a great problem to have. Today, the number 6 route, which takes you through Cortez, is the number 2 most popular route, I'm told, but I want to give it dedicated transit lanes so that you can just speed past traffic. And it's not just about getting to the beach. It's about activating Cortez. Mm-hmm. There are days you just can't get to any number of festivals, Stone Crab Festival, other festivals, because of the traffic there. And I want to make sure people can get to Cortez, the restaurants, the Maritime Museum, and more. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's in the works. It'll take a lot longer to do, but we got to start somewhere.
So as we talk about growth, economic development is another, you know, big opportunity here in Manatee County that you've talked about, you know, whether it's related to housing, to jobs, infrastructure. You've mentioned previously about providing amenities closer to where people live and attracting more businesses. Now, Manatee County is currently focused on a few specific sectors like aviation, aerospace, corporate headquarters, and advanced manufacturing. I'm curious, which do you think that Which of these do you think shapes the most jobs or growth for Manatee County's next chapter?
Manatee County's biggest strength is its education system. I looked at how Amazon managed to get their, how Northern Virginia, the Crystal City area, where I used to work in that area, how they managed to convince Amazon to get a headquarters there. Because that area is very heavily focused on defense contracting. And it's got a vibrant tech industry, but it's not the kind you usually associate with Amazon and that West Coast, like free-for-all type tech industry. You know, anything goes, let's just break stuff and fix it later type thing. No, this is the opposite. It's very much dominated by big consulting companies. So how did that work? So I spent quite a bit of time studying that, and I realized it just came down to the education system there and public and infrastructure. So those two things. And I fixated on both. So we talked about transportation, and we'll get into that. All the things I'm proposing, that's how they got more redevelopment to happen. But the education system, we are not a county that has a big four-year degree college like USF or University of Florida or UCF. We do have New College to the south of us. We do have USF Satellite Camp, their Sarasota Manatee campus. But if you look at our high schools and you look at our middle schools through our high schools, we have a strong agriculture component to our education system, 4-H. That's still very much part of the culture and heritage of the county. We also have a big focus on career and technical education, or the trades as people call it. MTC, when I was in leadership Manatee, I did a tour of the facility, and they had standing room only in their automotive classes. And I think welding was up there as well. When Air Products, now Honeywell, came in, they worked out a deal in 2014 to invest in MTC to sponsor a program for welding, aluminum welding, I believe, that could then allow them to train employees and bring them to their manufacturing facility in, near the seaport. So I think that's our biggest strength. I can't, I've heard a lot of talk about aerospace, and I think it's great. But we also have manufacturing of fire trucks and fire equipment here. There is Pierce Manufacturing that builds any number of any number of emergency vehicles right here in Bradenton. Nobody knows it, but they manufacture vehicles right here in this county. They rely on people that are they're on welders and other tradesmen that come out of MTC and local colleges. So all that to say, I think what we can do as a county is be a convener. At the end of the day, we don't need to throw money at the problem. I don't think that'll help. But I think if we can work with our EDC, with our seaport, we can maybe even our CVB to try and do a little boundary spanning, try and find industries, business partners. I'm a Leadership Florida alumni, so I talked to a broad alumni network there, and just talk to business owners and ask them, why aren't you moving here? I know land costs are a big factor by the port. Everyone wants a piece of it. Mm-hmm. And I also think our education system is another part. So if we can convince people to help us sponsor or build programs or additional space, SCF is another great example. They're fast growing. They have a great president there, Tommy Gregory. If we can work with these partners to invest in education programs that employers want to see here, and of course we do our job with infrastructure, I think we can prime our area for growth. But I think the career and technical education is key to the success for the future of Manatee County. I think we can outcompete Sarasota, Hillsborough, Pinellas counties on that. I don't think we're going to win on the big four-year degree programs. I mean, we will do well, but our bread and butter is going to be career and technical education.
Oh, and that sound means we've reached our lightning round. Commissioner, just give us your first quick answer to each one of these questions. Are you ready?
All right.
Lightning round. Chambers changes conversations, and away we go. Favorite local spot for a long walk or run?
Robinson Preserve.
One tech tool or app you swear by in public service?
Manatee 311.
Favorite way to unplug in Manatee County on the weekend?
Reading a book.
A local issue that deserves more public conversation than it's getting right now?
Public transit.
What's a hidden gem in District 3 that you think more people should visit?
Slicker's Eatery.
Most underrated event or tradition in Manatee County?
Bayfest.
If you could instantly fund one infrastructure project, what would it be?
SunTrail.
And one word to describe Manatee County's future?
Golden.
Did he make it? He made. Congratulations. I don't think we have a prize, do we? There's no prize.
The prize is this lovely conversation. Commissioner, it may have only been half a year, but you've clearly hit the ground running. Before we let you go, one final question. You know, some people may feel disconnected from their local government. What's one thing that you would challenge every resident to try this summer to get more engaged?
I'm going to tell people to make sure that they sign up for and download Manatee 311. And it's great talking to your commissioners and the aides. We try and get to everything as much as we can. But when certain events come by, it's virtually impossible to respond to every phone call and every text and email I get. And we try. But most concerns can be addressed by making sure they're in Manatee 311. And I don't say that as a way to pawn people off to something. It's a great tool. I drive around my district all the time and I take pictures of storm drains that might be clogged or sidewalks that need to be fixed. I get it in the record, so at least it's somewhere, and staff are on it. Or I've had people just do it without me even indicating, like, don't CC me on it. Just want to see how it goes. And things get done, and people don't quite realize how powerful a tool that is. So I encourage people to just download the 311 app on your Android or iPhone, or just send an email to 311@mymanatee.org.
And I know you mentioned it before, but one more time, how can people get in touch with you and how they can they stay engaged with what you've got going on?
Yeah, so talsadiq.com is a link to all my links. My cell is 941-392-1740 or tal@mymanatee.org, or you can show up to a commission meeting.
And that's it for this episode of Chambers Changes and Conversations. I'd like to thank Commissioner Tal for his time, expertise, and for doing work that matters. If you've got a topic that you would like us to tackle, let us know by commenting or sending us an email. From the county seat and on behalf of the men and women doing work that matters for you, I'm Casey Zempel.
I'm Stephanie Garrison.
I'm Commissioner Tal Sadiq.
Make it a great day to live, work, and play
in Manatee County.